What describes do and how to become one? Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining me for this, the 191st episode of Admissions Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is helping you get to that delightful instant when you can jump up and down shouting, "Yes, I'm in," and not only in, but in at the best program for you. Medical schools across the board want to know that the people they admit know what they're getting into and have an understanding of clinical practice based on personal experience. Clinical exposure is virtually a requirement for acceptance to all U.S. medical schools. And one of the best ways to get such exposure is by working as a scribe. Today, Matt Glowinski, Strategy and Operational Planning Associate at Scribe America, one of the largest scribe training and placement companies in the United States, is my guest on Admissions Straight Talk as we explore the world of medical scribes. Matthew earned his bachelor's in psychology from SUNY Brockport and an MSW from the University of Denver, the latter in 2011. He also did post-bac work at the University of Denver. He started working as a scribe in May 2013 and became a scribe manager for Scribe America in May 2014. That's the quick overview on Matt's background. We'll learn more directly from him. Matt, welcome to Admissions Straight Talk.
Hi, thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Now, how did you get involved in this relatively new field, this relatively new industry of being a scribe or scribing?
So like you said, I had moved out to Denver and completed my MSW here in 2011. And I worked at a really cool nonprofit here in Denver, which ran adventure programs for young adults with cancer. And while I really liked what I was doing, I needed a little bit more intellectually, and I still wanted to help people, and I wanted to really kind of explore what options were out there. And I kind of circled back around to going to medical school, which is something I had previously thought of and decided not to follow through with. So at that time, I started my post-bac work here in Denver and was in school and met some folks who were medical scribes here at one of the university hospitals and thought it sounded like a pretty cool idea. I was only taking classes part-time, and so I had a little bit of time to give, and I wanted to give that time to something that would help me get closer to my goal of eventually applying and going to medical school, and it seemed like being a medical scribe would fill that for me. So I applied and was accepted to a part-time scribe position and basically started scribing about 16 or so hours a week at that point.
And then what happened?
So scribing it's a really cool job. It's easy to do, but difficult to learn is something that I always say. So it took a while to go through the entire training process. And in the training process, you cover everything from medical terminology to writing a SOAP note, which is kind of the flow that a doctor uses when they're in a patient encounter. You learn about different labs that are ordered, medications that are ordered, imaging tests, and you learn that the doctors really start to rely on the scribes to help not only with the documentation, but the overall flow and efficiency of that shift. So I went through training. Training generally took about 4 weeks or so there, and then you start working as a scribe. And so you have a certain number of shifts that you've told your manager at the time that you're going to work, and you work those shifts. And the cool part about scribing is that although you are working on the computer a lot, it is about 99% of it is administrative in nature. But the doctors and the patients keep you on your toes. So no patient encounter is ever the same. Even patients coming in with a similar diagnosis or similar symptoms maybe are going to have two totally different workups and two totally different histories that mean the scribe is going to have to look up different information for a provider, or a different information will come to light, which provides more of a learning opportunity for the scribe. So I scribed for about 6 months in a level 2 emergency department here in Denver. Got a lot of experience. I worked with upwards of 45 or 50 different providers throughout that time. And then at the time, our current manager program was actually being promoted, and the opportunity arose for me to take on more of a management role. So that's when I moved more into a scribe program management position with the company.
And you obviously enjoyed that, and that's what you've been doing ever since. Is that basically the story? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of grew from there with managing one program and then helping start a new program here in Denver. And then quickly from there, there were, you know, different contracts around the country. So I actually started helping implement sites, scribe programs, all the way from Los Angeles to Boston and everywhere in between. And I think at the top of my scribe management, I had around 17 different scribe programs that I was overseeing with the help of assistant managers. So I certainly was able to grow from there, and I definitely enjoyed it.
Well, that's great. Okay. What is the typical day or shift, let's say? Is a shift typically 8 hours? Is it 12 hours? And what is a typical shift for a scribe?
I would say a lot of that is dependent on the client and the site that you're working at. We have some places or some client locations where you might even have shifts as short as 4 hours. When I think about those types of shifts, you might be working with in a surgical specialty where the doctor maybe only sees patients in clinics for 4 hours and then does surgery or procedures in the afternoon or vice versa. So we have some that are pretty short shifts. And then, we have shifts that go all the way up to 12 hours. Typically, you might find that more in an emergency room setting. Mm-hmm. Scribe America actually works in, I believe, over 60 different specialties, including hospitalist medicine, so inpatient, emergency medicine, and then a whole plethora of specialties in the outpatient world as well. And so to answer the second part of your question, in doctor's offices. So, you know, you might have primary care, so internal medicine, pediatrics, family medicine, but we also work in places like dermatology, orthopedics, ophthalmology, urology, so on and so forth. The list, I could probably, you know, go on the list for about 10 minutes, but we work in a lot of different specialties and clinics. We really try and adapt our programs and the hours that we work to what those clients' needs are. So an orthopedic surgeon is going to have a different scribe need than your emergency room doctor or even your family medicine provider.
Okay. All right. Can you give an example of an experience that you had as a scribe that kind of was particularly memorable, that stands out in your mind?
Yeah, I think overall, I guess I haven't scribed in a while, but I can sum up a lot of my experiences, I think, in that the providers are now able with a scribe to go into a room and really listen to what is going on with a patient and better focus their care when they're not having to fumble around in an electronic medical record or try and search something. They can ask the scribe, hey, will you look up this history? And within 30 seconds, the scribe has the information the doctor needs to continue down their pathway of determining what's going on with the patient. So I think for me, being able to work in a job that not only benefited me as a potential future medical student, but also was really a game changer for both the providers and the patients to either give or receive better care was really valuable to me. And I think was part of why I wanted to go into medicine anyways, was to really try and make a difference. And I feel like as scribes, you really do make a difference for both the provider and the patient.
Okay. Do you still plan to go to medical school?
I don't.
Okay. So you found your niche.
Yeah. When I was looking to go back to schools, I've always had an interest in business. But I also had an interest in science and technology as well, and I decided to go the med school route at the time, and I've kind of come full circle back to business within healthcare, and it's something I really enjoy, and I'm a little bit older, and so at some point I made the decision that I didn't want to be getting out of my residency at not too late for everybody, but too late for me.
Okay.
At the age of 37 or 38, so I decided that I would stick with this. I really enjoy it, and I like the opportunity to work closely with scribes and help mentor scribes as well. And so that's something that I get a lot out of my job right now.
That's great. So Let's go back to this scribe work. What, either from your own personal experience or from the feedback that you get from the scribes that you've been supervising, obviously you've supervised lots and lots of scribes, what is generally most liked and least liked about the work?
Again, I'd say it will differ between specialties. Mm-hmm. I think the greatest aspect of scribing is that there's not another position out there that I can think of in the medical field where you as a young 18, generally 18 to 22-year-old, either in college or fresh out of college, is going to be able to go in and get paid to work side-by-side with a medical provider, be it a doctor or a PA or a nurse practitioner, and gain firsthand medical knowledge and experience. No, we don't get to touch the patients, per se, or care for the patients, quote-unquote, but you're basically seeing patients 8 hours a day for hopefully the year or two that you're working as a medical scribe. So by the time you're done there, you've seen thousands of patient encounters, thousands of hours of working side by side with doctors. And so you have a really extensive knowledge and understanding of medicine, of, you know, the day-to-day workflow of a provider, how medical offices work, so on and so forth. So it gives you this amazing understanding that I feel a lot of folks who might not be able to work as a scribe, they might not have as they try and move forward within their medical career. So that I'd say is the best. You know, the least, I think it really just depends on, you're still working as part of a team. And so depending on who you're working with and where you're working at, there's always things I feel in an office or work environment that can be a little bit of a struggle or, you know, make it hard to always be the most fun. Lots of different personalities. I think the cool thing about scribing, though, is you have to learn to adapt to the situations that you're in. And the scribe role really kind of forces you to become an expert at adaptation. Stopping what you're doing and going to focus on something else, or there's an MA out of the office and maybe you have to, you know, help out in a non-clinical way to make sure that the office still runs efficiently. So it definitely keeps you on your toes, but I'd say the skills that it teaches you are really important in both everyday life as well as medical school and a future medical provider.
Right. And I know in talking to admissions directors, scribing is, I think, one of the most valued forms of clinical exposure for pre-med. It's not the only valued form of exposure, but it certainly is highly valued because you are so much in the middle of things that you get a real good exposure. And the point of it from a medical school admissions perspective is to make sure that the people who are admitted to medical school have a realistic idea of what the practice of medicine means. And is.
Absolutely.
So that's one of the advantages of it. And I think teamwork, which means that not all teams are going to be so highly functional, and adaptability are both qualities that you need in medicine. You can't be rigid if, you know.
Absolutely. And I would also say that, you know, scribing is a great opportunity for folks who aren't sure either. Mm-hmm. You know, I've talked to in interviews a lot of people who are, you know, I'm taking the classes, I might be interested, I'm not really sure. Scribing is a great way to really get in there and see, is this what I want to do? Is it worth committing my time, my energy, my finances to? Or maybe I get in there and I scribe for a couple months and I see the doctors and I decide, hey, maybe this really isn't it for me. We hope that people have good experiences, but we've certainly had a number of people as well who, they come, they scribe, they get through the training, and they're like, you know what? I had a great experience, but this isn't for me. I'm going to, you know, pivot and go in a different direction. And then we also have the opposite individuals who this 100% reaffirms that all the work they've done in undergrad and what they want to do in medical school, that they're committed to doing it. And I think it's beneficial in both ways. And to your other point, I do agree that as far as admissions goes, to me, this is what maybe research once was. I think back in, you know, the 90s, the early 2000s, you know, everybody, you needed to have some form of I've done research with this. I maybe had publications, and I really see the industry kind of pivoting towards what's your clinical experience.
Oh, yeah.
And the scribe experience, like you said, is by far and away, I think, the best opportunity to really get in there. It doesn't require any other certifications. We provide all the training that you need, and you can get in and stand side by side with a doctor or a physician assistant as they see patients day in and day out, 8 to 12 hours a day. And you get paid, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Certainly, when I think back, like when I started this business about 20 years ago, it was very, very hard for pre-meds to find that they were sometimes working part-time, going to school full-time, you know, volunteering. I mean, like, how do you do it all? At least in this case, you can combine the part-time work experience with some really, really impressive clinical experience. Now, let's talk a bit about Scribe America. What is Scribe America?
Like you said in your intro, Scribe America is the largest scribe company in the country. We're actually in two other countries now as well. We're starting programs in Canada as well as Australia.
Wow.
So we're kind of, so we're the experts basically in coming in and setting up and continual management of scribe programs. And so we partner really closely with a lot of healthcare systems and all the way down to small providers, practices who have discovered that there is a need to assist their providers with their documentation. Different clients will come to us for different reasons, but at the end of the day, it's all about efficiency, making their doctors more efficient, providing better patient care, being able to provide better access to patients, so being able to see more patients. So Scribe America will basically partner with a potential client, and then we implement and start a scribe program from scratch. We do all the hiring, the training, and the ongoing management and quality assessment of those programs. And like I said, we have programs in both inpatient and outpatient, as well as emergency medicine. We're in all 50 states here in the U.S.
Wow. Okay. And you had said earlier that there are full-time scribe positions, there are part-time scribe positions. Is that correct? It really, really varies, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the cool part about Scribe America and scribes in general is that it's really a play for students. You know, we're not necessarily advertising these positions to folks who, you know, we would love people to stay around. We generally know that the people that we're hiring are going to either be students or fresh out of school and applying to medical school in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a pretty flexible position. Generally, what we ask of our part-time employees is around 2 shifts per week at a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And then our full-time employees are 4 to 5 shifts a week. We ask for a verbal commitment of 1 year for full-time employees, 2 years for part-time employees, just because it is a very extensive training process and the providers also really appreciate consistency in their scribes.
Sure.
They get really, really close to their scribes. So they want to see people who are staying. But everybody also understands that there is a constant kind of turnover cycle where people are applying to medical school, getting in. We're all very happy about that. So part-time, full-time, very flexible when it comes to school, very flexible when it comes to things like medical school interviews, things of that nature, which, you know, always kind of come up with this type of population who's a scribe.
Right, right. And you've touched, a couple times on the training. What is the training? What does it consist of? How long is it? I think you mentioned it's about 4 weeks. Is that full-time, part-time, and what's covered?
Yes. So the training is, there's some general training, mm-hmm. which will take place either in person with a manager or online. And from there, we teach very basic information. So we cover some medical terminology. We cover basics of documentation. We cover basics of the workflow of the different types of facilities that you might be in, again, inpatient, outpatient, or emergency medicine. Each one of those, the training is actually specific to that. And so we'll go through classroom training. We also start touching upon things such as anatomy and physiology, pathophysiology. So why are the patients actually coming in to see these providers? And we start covering some of that information as well. So the initial phase of training, I'd say it could be done as quickly as a week. It could take up to 3 weeks. It really is kind of done dependent on schedules of the scribe manager. So that can, again, depending on full-time or part-time, just depends on what their availability is to get that done. Then from there, you transition more onto the on-site training. So on-site training actually takes place with one of our scribe trainers and the provider at the facility where that scribe is going to be working. And so they would generally have anywhere between 4 to 5 on-site training shifts where they're working closely with the trainer and their providers, seeing patients, writing notes, really kind of diving in to the full experience of documenting and seeing patients and running from room to room. And kind of throughout that on-site training period, they're getting a lot of feedback about their documentation and really working on correcting that and improving their documentation to the point where by the end of training, they're able to go into that provider's patient's rooms throughout an entire day. They can document what needs to be documented appropriately without errors. And at the end of the day, the doctor is able to review their notes and sign off on them without spending too much time thinking about it or doing the documentation on their own.
And is the first phase of training, is that like in a physical location or is it an online course or how does that work?
Yeah, it will depend on the situation, but some sites will conduct it online. We have the ability to conduct it online for all sites if necessary, mm-hmm. Or if desired. But some other sites might have more specific training or site-specific information that needs to be taught. And so we might do it all online. We might do it all in person with a manager. So that might be done, you know, at a coffee shop or in a back office at the clinic. Or we might even do a hybrid where some of it is conducted online, some of it is conducted in person. So it's pretty flexible, and it's generally pretty flexible as far as schedule goes as well. So we try and make it as efficient as possible while also making sure that the scribes going through the training are actually learning the information that they need to know. And so we do have a number of different quizzes and tests that the candidates and the scribes must pass in order to kind of move on to the next phase of training. But I think you actually mentioned it before, it's a really good test for people to see if they're really willing to put in the work and the effort and the energy to become a doctor and go to medical school. It takes a ton of work, a ton of effort, a ton of commitment. And like I said before, scribing, it's a pretty easy job. Once you get the hang of it, it's still fun, it's still engaging, but it's not rocket science. You learn the pattern, and you can do the pattern over and over again, and then you get to focus on the fun stuff. But if you're not really willing to put the commitment and effort into learning how to become a scribe, my guess is that it could be fairly difficult to think that you're going to be able to go on and put the effort into medical school. So it really does kind of self-select those folks who are going to be interested in putting in the effort right up front, and we can tell within a week or two if somebody is going to make it through training or not.
Okay. What does Scribe America look for when it wants to hire a new scribe?
Generally speaking, folks who are interested in medical school, so they have some sort of background in biology, chemistry, maybe physics, but that doesn't rule anybody out. What I usually look for is somebody who's really smart and really motivated. If you're really smart and you're really motivated and you're interested in actually learning and doing the job, we can train you to become a great scribe, an efficient scribe. Some of the things that I've mentioned already today would be adaptability, organization is really important, time management is really important. Being able to type quickly is not a It's not a deal breaker if you don't have the fastest typing speed, but certainly you want to be efficient enough to be able to keep up with the doctor speaking to you sometimes at a million words per minute, and they expect you to capture all the information. You know, the other piece there is just memory and recall. Am I able to remember what the doctor said about that patient we saw 45 minutes ago when this other patient came in with something that was more pressing at the time? A lot of that comes with experience in scribing, but certainly the qualities that I look for or try to assess in the interview. And then communication is really important too. You're working really closely with not only the doctor, but the whole care team. And so sometimes as a scribe, you may be tasked with delivering a message to somebody else, or the patient tells you something and you really have to get that information to the doctor, or maybe you missed information while the doctor was examining the patient, and now you need to communicate with the doctor to get that information so you can complete your documentation. So there's a lot going on at all times. And so, yeah, there's almost any quality you could think of that is, you know, you could probably relate that to being a scribe, but certainly time management, organization, adaptability, willingness to learn, I think are some of my top ones.
Okay. And I would assume, you know, teamwork skills, interpersonal skills are probably also pretty important.
Absolutely.
Now, on one hand, we've talked about the benefits of scribing for pre-meds and how it's a great way to acquaint oneself with clinical medicine. On the other hand, I was reading some reviews. And people said it was just boring. You're just typing what somebody else is saying.
Right.
Is it both or more of one than the other? How would you respond to that?
Yeah, I think, it will depend on what specialty you have and which provider you're paired with. Mm-hmm. I think we can all probably relate to having a professor who, you know, is really fun and engaging and teaches the information well. And then we have the professor who goes straight off the PowerPoint and, and it's not, you know, the most fun. I think we can all relate to that. I don't want to say there's certainly that same variability within doctors and their practice. And so that's just, again, kind of the nature of, I guess, the way the world works, is that there's going to be some folks who are highly engaging and make it fun, and there's going to be others. I think the cool part about scribing is you can really take from it what you put into it. And so there can be a lot of self-directed learning. Yes, some of the providers, maybe even some of the specialties in general, aren't going to be as engaging or fun for a scribe. But as the scribe, you have the opportunity to really become an expert in whatever it is you're doing. So when I was working in emergency medicine, I mean, I could tell you every single day there was a new word or disease or test or something that came up in conversation or throughout my day that I didn't know what it was. And I had been doing it at that point for a year. And so I would take it upon myself to make a list every single day of the things that came up. I would look those up and look into it, and then the next time I heard it, I would be a better scribe for it. But it was also, again, padding that knowledge and information that I, at the time, was planning on taking with me to med school. And I think you can do that in really almost any specialty. So if there are days where you're bored or there's not a lot going on, I really take it upon, or, you know, put it on my scribes to say, what could you be doing instead of being bored? You know, there are some times with downtime. So, you know, are you researching some of those things that came up? Are you asking the provider if there's anything else you can help with? But I would say scribing was by far and away one of my favorite jobs working in the emergency room. Every day was different. You saw patients from all walks of life coming in. The providers were there to try and make their day a little bit better. And as a scribe, you really had, you know, you were a fly on the wall for those encounters. And it was also so beneficial to just where I wanted to go and where we as scribes wanted to go in our future, that I was never personally bored. I think to your point about, you know, we do the same task kind of over and over again.
Yeah, but you could say the same about doctors.
Right.
Too.
Almost anything, right.
And almost anything.
The variability, though, between the patients and all that is what keeps it really fun and entertaining. You're never going to see the same patient coming in with the same, you know, the same types of chief complaints. You know, they might come in with multiple different things or different histories, which make that encounter different than the one that you just saw 5 minutes before that. And so to me, that's what keeps it really fun and keeps me engaged. And you could have an 8-hour shift go by in a blink because everything is just happening so quickly and there's always something to be done. So, you know, I think it kind of comes down to who the one working it is, but if you're interested in being engaged and having fun, I think you can figure out a way to do it no matter what setting you're in.
Okay. Now, I don't know if you actually, I can imagine it could happen now, not so much for people who were scribes when you were, but maybe people who were scribes in the very early days of scribing.
Yeah.
And they've gone through medical school and now are they employing scribes? You ever come across that situation? Or not
I've
yet?
I recently heard of one. I think it's certainly going to start happening much more. You know, it's funny as scribes, I've talked to scribes about when you're a doctor, do you think you'll have a scribe? And I think it's kind of mixed reviews. You know, there are some scribes who their documentation is really strong. They know how to use an electronic medical record. They can use it efficiently without really slowing down their day.
Yeah.
And they could probably get away with doing it without a scribe. That said, I think there is another way of looking at it where if you had a scribe who would allow you to be more productive and would basically pay for themselves, then there's really no reason that somebody who's gone to medical school and spent all that time to become a doctor should be the one writing and doing the documentation within the EMR. The doctor's focus can, and in my eyes, should be focused on taking care of patients, in that you can almost outsource the documentation piece to a scribe, still have it really well done, and the provider can really then, again, focus on patient care or taking care of some of the other duties that they also have to do.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think scribes should be sticking around here for quite some time, even though eventually we're going to be getting a lot of doctors who were formerly scribes.
Yeah, I can assume so. What specialties do scribes typically work in? I know you said that they can work in, you know, hundreds of different ones, but what are the most common ones?
So I would say as an industry, scribing really started off in the emergency room. That was really the first place that we saw scribes. From there, we've been breaking into the outpatient world more often, even more often now than emergency rooms. So it kind of depends. I'd say some of our bigger ones are going to be the primary care specialties, so internal medicine, family medicine, and pediatrics. There are a number in cardiology. We have about 60 or so that we have. So there's a lot. I'd say the primary care field is pretty big for us, and now we're certainly breaking into the hospitalist and inpatient side of scribing as well, to help those doctors, you know, either in ICUs or general units in hospitals to take care of their patients as well.
All right. I assume that, and you mentioned this also, and obviously you've experienced it, now not everybody who becomes a scribe and decides that medicine is not the career for them is going to be able to work for Scribe America in management. But for those scribes who decide that medicine is not their calling, is there any trend? Like, what do they typically go into? Do they decide to go into research? Do they go into high tech? Do they become nurses or PAs? What do you have any data on that, or just impressions?
I don't have any specific data. What I can say is that I think in our company, a lot of folks who there is a lot of opportunity, I guess I would say, for moving on just beyond the scribe position. There are a number of levels of management, from managing one site to managing multiple sites to implementing sites and traveling the country implementing sites, that there's plenty of opportunity for folks who maybe either aren't sure or maybe they found that they like the business of healthcare and they want to stay there. We've certainly also had folks leave and go to do, you know, other medical type graduate school programs. So we've had people go to physical therapy programs, occupational therapy, so on and so forth there. We certainly have people going off to nursing school, PA school, eventual nurse practitioners. That's certainly an option. There is always going to be that subset who says, I want nothing to do with medicine. I'm not really sure. You know, I don't have any great data on what they might be doing. Okay. But certainly some folks go into research as well. I've had a number of people leave scribing to go back into research because they weren't necessarily interested in being a provider anymore, for example.
All right. Any last tips for those who want to become a scribe?
Yeah, I would say apply on our website, and it's one of the greatest opportunities you can have if you're interested in medical school. A number of my former colleagues are now in their second, third, and I think even one is in their fourth year of medical school at this point. Yeah. They've said that their scribing ability and knowledge has hands down helped them in a number of different areas of their schooling there in medical school. So I certainly recommend it. And if I was on an admissions committee, I would certainly say that having scribe experience would put somebody over somebody who had not. So I certainly recommend it to anybody who's interested in the field.
Okay, great. Thank you, Matt. I think we're running out of time. Thanks so much for joining me for this podcast and for sharing your experience and perspective. Where can listeners learn more about Scribe America and the scribe profession?
Yeah, absolutely. They can visit our website, which is scribeamerica.com, and there's a ton of great resources and information on there about scribing and its benefits in general, as well as they'd be able to find an application where they could look at their own home location, again, all 50 states, to look at available positions in those areas.
Great. Thank you. We're going to link from the show notes at exhibit.com/191 to scribeamerica.com, as well as to other related resources. Oh, and if you want to review something you heard or wish you had been able to take notes, don't worry. We take the notes for you, and you can find those notes at, you guessed it, exhibit.com/191. Listener, thank you too for tuning in to this, our 191st episode. If you found this show worthwhile, please make sure you don't miss any others. Subscribe through your favorite podcatcher. We have subscribe links in the show notes at exhibit.com/191. And also tell your friends about Admission Straight Talk. Finally, I also want to invite you to our next pre-med webinar, Get Accepted to Medical School with Low Stats, to be presented by Alicia McNeese Nimankar. So if you're concerned that your GPA or MCAT could be barriers to acceptance, don't miss this webinar. Alicia will give you concrete suggestions to determine whether your stats really are low, as well as what to do about them. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I'm your host, Linda Abraham. I look forward to talking to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.